Turn with me today to Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Praise the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. And the word of God says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. To the chief musician with my stringed instruments. I want to speak today on the subject, don't be afraid of heights. Don't be afraid of heights. Would you turn to somebody and tell them, don't be afraid of heights? Hallelujah. This message was birthed, interestingly, out of an article that I was reading last year in the month of June concerning the unfortunate events that happened in Tibet with all the climbers that wanted to get to the top of Mount Everest. Mount Everest, for those of you who do not know, is almost 30,000 feet above sea level. It is the highest or tallest mountain in the world. It's the highest point on the planet. From Mount Everest, you can see four countries: Nepal, Tibet, China, and Mongolia. And so it's something on the bucket list, if you will, for you to be able to climb that mountain. Because it means that you accomplished something great. You got to the highest point on earth. It's something that not everybody is able to do. And so hundreds of people on a yearly basis, especially the last few years, have attempted to climb this mountain. Now last year, unfortunately, there were 11 confirmed deaths in this climb. And that's why it came out in the news internationally about all the struggles that people had in climbing the mountain, because almost 400 people, 381 in fact, were trying to climb the mountain at the same time. Many fell ill, and unfortunately 11 people passed away. It moved me to search the details why this was going on, what complications there were, and I found in the details that there was a message for me and for the body of Christ and for all of us here today. Because sometimes God has treasures stored up in things that we would never think would be able to minister to us. And so there's certain things that I want to share this morning. And the first thing is that it costs approximately $11,000 if you want to climb Mount Everest. Don't know how many of you have that amount available to do something of that nature. But it $11,000 per person for you to be able to climb this mountain. And it made me reflect on the fact that if we want to go higher in the Lord, if we want to reach and escalate to the top of what the Lord has for us, there is a price to be paid. Now, the price of salvation was paid by Jesus at the cross. His shed blood was enough to satisfy the wrath of God, the Father. And it gave us life and life more abundantly. So the price for salvation is not something that you and I have to do. It was already done for us 2,000 years ago at the cross. But there is a maintenance fee. The price For the gift was already paid by the Master. And we have salvation freely by that wonderful gift of Jesus on the cross. But there's a maintenance fee. And that maintenance fee, that's why the Holy Spirit was given to the church. Because God knew that it was going to be set to us to maintain what we have been given freely. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. So in our times of weakness, in our times of despair, in times when we cannot, he can for us. And so Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. That's the price of the disciple. That's the maintenance fee that we have to pay in the context of giving up our lives for the Lord as he gave his life up for us. John the Baptist, in the midst of his heyday, in the midst of the most powerful moment of his earthly ministry, John the Baptist said these words. He must become greater. In John 3:30, he must become greater. I must become less. I want you to repeat those words with me. He must become greater. I must become. King James Version says, he must increase and I must decrease. I am told that science says that two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time unless one is inside of the other. So I'm convinced that God and I don't fit in the same space unless he's on the inside of me and I am on the inside of him, because he who becomes one with the Lord, one spirit is made with him. And so the Apostle Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the price for us to go higher in the Lord is self-denial. And I understand that may be contradictory to the ways we are living in today in the good old US of A, where me is the center of everything. And we have become the object of our own worship. That doesn't work in the gospel. That can work in corporate America. That can work in politics. That might work in some families. That might work on the job. That might work if you and I are self-serving. But if we're going to bear fruit in the kingdom and be representatives of God's kingdom here on earth, it's not going to work. We have to become zero so that God can be 100. It hurts, but it's the truth. We have to be completely sold out to Jesus so that he may be able to reflect himself through us. The second thing that I want to share quickly with you is that these people that pay $11,000, I'm still trying to get over that, I'm sorry. $11,000 in order to climb and reach the Acme, the top of this mountain, they can't do it by themselves. So they rely on these guides called Sherpas. Because Sherpas are needed in order to help the climber get to the top. These are individuals that can guide others to the top, not just by knowledge, but also by experience. Because they know the region, because they live there, they themselves have been to the top. And because they have been to the top and know the region, they qualify to get others to the top as well. That might invite us today to reconsider our list of company. Nobody can take you where they have never been before. And sometimes our emotions betray us because we get attached to people that are happy with you and I as long as we're at the same level. If you ever show any signs of wanting to go further, go higher, go farther, do more, reach more, accomplish more, you will lose them. Because they're happy where they're at. Now that we should not become prideful, God forbid. But if we want to do more for Jesus, if we want to go farther in the things of God, if we want to produce more fruit for the kingdom, we have to be helped by others who have gone farther before us. And that's why I praise God for leaders in this church, our pastors. Because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:9 that two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Verse 12 says that a threefold cord or a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Look at the advice of Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders. Another version says, remember your pastors who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Pride does not allow us to acknowledge when we need help. It will not allow us to acknowledge need of advice, assistance, guidance, and leadership in our lives. But we cannot do things alone. Jesus himself told his disciples, I'm going back to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Comforter because you are going to need help. Somebody need help in here today. We need to look to one another, beloved. We need to look to our pastors, our leaders. We need to look to our brethren in the faith. Why is this? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 to 26. Paul said, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now look at this. Many of us, or some of us, or maybe someone wants to be the heart, or the brain, or the pancreas, or the kidneys, or one of these vital organs. But look at this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The eye cannot hold or grasp, but it can see. The hand cannot see, but it can hold and it can grasp. And so all of us are needed in here. Because I cannot do what you can do. You may not be able to do what we can do, but we can all do something. Amen. On the contrary, the apostle says, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Those that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. And those that are presentable need no special treatment. God has put the body together. Repeat that with me. God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So that there should be no... Say it out loud now. In the body. But that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. That's why in the New Testament, God will always speak in corporate terms. One body, many members. We're no longer looked at separately, ethnically, or spiritually. God sees us as one entity, one body, the church, the bride of Christ. The called out ones. And so we need each other in order to rise. So somebody say, I need you. Number three, the best time to climb Everest, I found that, is from mid-April to the end of May. It's when the climate is at the right temperature and the atmosphere is ready for people to climb. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And so sometimes in our haste, we either move too fast or we move too slow. Some people go too fast because they want to be the first one to get to the top. Or some people that are not interested just move along at a slow pace. But there is a proper season for everything. And so Peter advised in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6, he says, humble yourselves. That's a difficult task, ladies and gentlemen. Pride is our greatest enemy. But humility is God's formula for exaltation. If we want to get to the top, we must humble ourselves. Peter said, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. That word time is kairos, which means season. He's going to exalt you at the right season. And all that's going to happen is I am under God's hand and I don't have to do anything but wait upon the Lord, and he's going to change the position of his hand from being over me to being under me, so he would exalt me at the right time. It's all about God's hand. Repeat that with me. It's all about God's hand. If we humble ourselves below his hand, he'll exalt us at the right time. But you gotta wait. Number four, the physical and mental condition of those who climb must be in the proper state. Some of the climbers, according to the reports, they were not in the physical state in order to climb. They had issues with blood sugar. They had pulmonary issues. They had heart conditions, some of them. And so they were not in the proper health state or mental state, because it also requires conviction and determination to get to the top of that mountain. They were not in the physical or mental condition of those that were able to get to the top. And so the possibilities of sickness and even death increased exponentially if they were not in the proper health. Some of them passed out, unfortunately. Others had physical conditions. Their heart levels and sugar levels and different things that were going on in their bodies started failing them. And one of the reports were that some of them were walking over corpses, unfortunately, on their way to the top. And so it's a message for us that we have to be prepared. Now, I know that God can do miracles. He is a miracle-working God. And when we can't, he can. What's impossible for men is possible for God. But let's not get it twisted here. God expects responsibility from our behalf. And so Jesus himself in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? And so many times, if we're honest with ourselves, we want God to do miracles to excuse our irresponsibility. Well, Brother Joel, I thought you were going to make me jump up and down today. There's a time for everything. See, 2020 will be nothing different than 2019 unless our attitudes and mindset change. Otherwise, you can speak it, claim it, name it, declare it, listen to all the sermons you want to, but if you and I do not exert a change of mindset and conduct, we will not be able to be prepared to administer the things that God has reserved for us. And so Jesus is talking about preparation, that if you want to be able to achieve something great, you first have to sit down and have a plan in mind and calculate all the details necessary in order to achieve. If we want to escalate in God and rise to the top, we have to be prepared. Number five, almost 400 people wanted to climb, which caused congestion and difficulty. In simple terms, there were too many people trying to do the same thing at the same time, which caused competition. Competition will always bring division. We must guard ourselves in our hearts and minds to not try to put on display things that should only be for God's glory. We must know our position and our assignment. The funny thing is, amongst all that death and sickness and danger, there were people who were taking pictures and selfies at the top of that mountain. Can you believe that? People dying around you, getting sick, human beings created in God's image and likeness, just as you and I. And the only thing that was important for some of those people was, oh, I understand that we are in the world, but we can't be of it, ladies and gentlemen. Because this self-serving, self-glorifying mentality that the world has is the greatest stumbling block for God to be glorified in our lives. It's not about who makes it first. It's about all of us making it together. Come on. Come on now. It hurts. I know it hurts. It hurts me as well. Too much self-glorifying. Too much personality. The greatest personality that should be glorified is Jesus Christ. He is the star. Amen. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, 30. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Look at these questions, beloved. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer to all of these questions is obviously no. We cannot have too many chiefs. I'll let you finish it. There is a place for each and every one of us in the body. And there is a function for each and every one of us in the body. And God has gifted each and every one of us with a gift, a talent, an ability to be able to do something on behalf of the kingdom. And it's not about who gets the credit. It's not about who has the greatest title or the function, who's behind the scenes or in front of everybody. The important thing is that you bear fruit for the kingdom in the capacity which God has called you to. Amen? I'm reminded of when Jesus says that when the seed is sown, it bears fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. When I was growing up in church, the way they explained that to me was spiritual levels. Well, some of you are on the 30 level. Some of you are on the 60 level. God wants us at the 100 level. Now, it sounded nice for a sermon, but when I started to study and get into it, I realized that was 100% wrong. 30, 60, and 100 are not spiritual levels. It's the productivity level of each tree that is a product of the seed. Which means that some trees are going to give more, others are going to give less, but they have a different capacity according to what the seed produces in them. And the important thing is that if you are a tree that bears 30, don't bear 29, bear 30. If I'm a 60 tree, then I'm not supposed to give 59. Give 60. If you're blessed to be a tree that produces 100, praise the Lord. Don't do 99. Somebody remember that song, 99 and a half won't do? 100. So it does not matter. We're not competing to see who gives 30 or 60 or 100. The important thing is you bear fruit for the kingdom of God. All of them wanted to get to the top at the same time. And what the report says is that there was such a long line. And there's a picture of this on an Instagram account. So many people. And those people that were walking on top of corpses, according to the report, they were leaving their friends or leaving other people in the conditions they were just to get to the top. That's not the mentality of the body of Christ. If I see my brother or my sister in a fallen state, whatever the reason may be, Galatians 6 says, restore them with a spirit of meekness and humility. Help them to rise. Offer your help. Offer your assistance. We must learn to hear God's voice and follow the proper steps. Let me just recap real quick. There's a price to pay. It's called self-denial. To go higher in God, we must deny ourselves and let Him live through us. Number two, we need guidance. We have the Holy Spirit as our main Sherpa. We also have pastors and leaders that are there to help us out. Number three, there's a season. Your season may have not arrived yet, but be faithful and wait upon the Lord. He'll renew your strength. And when it's time, He'll allow you to reach that level that you are desiring to reach, all for His glory and honor. Number four, we have to prepare. You have to be in the proper spiritual condition. Sometimes the blessing is ready for us, but we're not ready for it. So the Lord is so loving as a good father that He is. He'll work on us and get us ready. And number five, we must know our position and assignment. Even if we feel like we are in the back of the line, even if you feel like you're in the back of the line, the important thing is you're in the line and you're going to get to the top. He has prepared a height for each of us, and that's why the prophet Habakkuk said, talked about my heights, because there's a height for each of us. And God enables us to rise above our circumstances, circumstances that sometimes are not of our desire, but reveal God in a way we didn't expect. Sometimes that issue that we are praying to God for to have removed is the exact thing that He is using to mold us. And if He takes it away, then we're not going to get to where we need to get to. God enables us. That's why Ephesians 2:6 says, and God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. God has done it. But this should be our attitude. Habakkuk says, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen or no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. This is the same attitude of the Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3. They stood in front of the most powerful emperor of the time and they said to him, hear us, O king. Our God can deliver us from this fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand. And if not, we will not bow down before your idol and worship. Are there some if not believers in here this morning? You must love God enough and I must love God enough that if He does not answer our prayers the way we want Him to, our service cannot be conditional. Our worship cannot be conditional. Our commitment cannot be conditional. We have to be unconditionally committed to Christ, the way He was unconditionally committed to us. For He loved us before we could love Him. And He gave His life for us, though we were yet sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. He gave His life for us. And so Habakkuk says, no matter if I lose everything else, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. And I'm about to close, but why does he speak about the feet of a deer? Zoologists say that this type of deer that's mentioned in Habakkuk was one that can jump from rock to rock in the mountains and not stumble. It speaks of firmness. It speaks of agility, and it speaks of an ability to flee from situations. He said, he enables me to tread on the heights. And so I'm told, as we finish today, that the eagle, when it sees turbulent winds or storms, what it will do is instead of fighting those contrary winds or storms, it'll rise above the winds. It'll rise above the storm. The storm is there. The winds are blowing. The atmosphere is not nice, but the eagle is looking down. And I believe what the Bible says in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be weary, run and not grow faint. And so if we want to rise above the turbulence, we've got to learn to wait on God. We've got to learn to hang on and be committed to the Lord to rise above our circumstance. We give the Lord a clap offering this afternoon. Don't know about you. I want to go higher. I want to be able to produce more for Him. But I'm aware of certain commitments from our behalf that need to be done. Don't be scared of heights. Don't be scared of where God wants to take you. Pastors, don't be scared of where God wants to lead this church. All we have to do is be sure to deny ourselves, to trust the Lord, to maintain ourselves under His mighty hand, and to rise above circumstances so that they don't control us, but we can look down upon them from God's perspective. Lord, help us. Teach us. Mold us. Lead us by your Holy Spirit. We offer ourselves, Lord, as a living sacrifice. Change what you have to change, and mold what you have to mold. Lord, that our service to you not be conditional. Help us to have that maturity, Father, to praise you in the good and the bad, to serve you in the good and the bad, to continue sowing the seed of the gospel, even when we don't see immediate results. To continue being faithful, no matter what the eye sees or the heart feels. Help us to rise above in the name of Jesus. Help us to go beyond. In 2020, Lord, help us to go beyond what we have known. Help us to go beyond what we have experienced. Without your help, it's impossible. But with you, all things are possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
First of all, thank you, Brother Joel, for a laser-focused dissemination of the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the Word of truth. You got yourself a steak dinner today. You really did. I did. We all did. To God be the glory. But here's the takeaway. Here's the takeaway. God is saying, just bow your heads with me for a moment. What is it that still enslaves you? What is it that still trips you up? You leave here with good intentions. You leave here with a sense of resolve and confidence. I know who I am. I know what kind of person I'm going to be. I know I'm going to be a person of convictions. I'm not going to let Jesus down. I'm not going to be ashamed of Christ. And then something happens and we fold. You might say, Pastor, come on now, you're being too hard. No, I can say that because I've done it myself. So don't think I'm picking on anybody here, because I'm preaching to myself as well. I've been in a situation in a crowd where I should have said something or could have, changed my attitude. I gave into my flesh. Peter thought he was all that. Lord, if all these others forsake you, all these others. Peter was the strong one, relying on his own strength. I will not, even if they leave you, I will not. He was the first one to fold. Come on, somebody say amen. Little girl comes up to him. Aren't you one of the disciples? Oh, no, not me, not me. Don't think you're all that. Lesson number one. Let Christ be seen in you. And it's okay to humble yourself and say, God, I've messed up. I've let you down at times, but I want to take up my cross and follow you. I want to be a real Christian. A real Christian, 24/7. Is there anybody who's witnessing what I'm saying today? I want to be for real, God. Let's stand together, and as we sing this once or twice, we're going to come to the altar. I'm going to invite you to this altar, but I want you to think about why you're coming. You're coming, you can say, God, denying myself is hard, but I'm going to come anyway. I'm not in a fantasy land, Lord. I realize that saying no to my flesh, saying no to my anger, saying no to my pride is hard, but I still want to follow you, Jesus. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit, my Sherpa, come on, the Holy Spirit to help me where I fail, to strengthen me. I'm asking the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, to guide me to the top. So you come as we sing this again and say, Lord, I'm walking to the front because I'm walking towards the cross. Whatever it takes, I will follow you.